Well, we have seen some rockiness in markets this week. It's a far cry from panic, certainly. And that's borne out by some recent survey data from Schwab. Randy Frederick is joining us now. He's Managing Director of Trading and Derivatives at the Schwab Center for Financial Research. Good to see you, Randy. So according to the survey you guys conducted, of the traders you surveyed, 35% bullish, of them are bullish, 45% are neutral, only about 20% are bearish. How has that been shifting at all, and were you surprised to see these numbers?
Well, what we typically find when we do these surveys is that the number of neutral is the one that changes the most surprisingly. There's about a third that typically are bullish, a third that are bearish in general, but the neutral number gets bigger and smaller. And usually what I sort of interpret neutral as, meaning I don't know. And when people just don't know, they don't want to commit. They just say I'm neutral because I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. So that number is a little higher now than it was recently, but you know, keep in mind, we've had a pretty good run in the market. The S&P's up over 90% since the bottom back when the virus hit last year in the spring. It's up 18% or so this year, so it's been a pretty good run.
Randy, the 20% that are bearish, can you define what bearish is? Is that group looking for a bear market, and are they positioning their portfolios for one?
Well, no. What's interesting about that is while that number stays fairly consistent, it does vary by a few percent here or there, is that what's really important about surveys a lot of times is that surveys are attitudinal measures. They're not behavioral measures. And what we find time and time again over the many, many years that we've done these surveys is that what people tell us they feel and what they actually do are entirely different. So people might say that they're bearish. And then if you ask them the question, oh, so does that mean you've got a very high level of cash in your account? They'll say, oh, no, I'm fully invested in the market. I just don't feel real good about it right now. And that's consistent time and time and time again. They're not necessarily expecting a bear market. What they really mean is that they just don't feel real good. Maybe they're a little uncomfortable with where things are right now, but they stay fully invested. And it may have to do with the fact that often in the past, if they have sold some of their positions and gone into a higher concentration of cash, they've missed out on the upside runs, which does happen at times. So it is fascinating how what people say they do and what they actually do tend to be very, very different sometimes.
Randy, let's talk a little bit about earnings season now that we're pretty much wrapped up there. The results this quarter, I can't tell you how many companies, you know, we talked about the results here. It's just, another beat on the top and the bottom line. But we didn't see a ton of positive market reactions as a general idea. Is that something that you typically see in earnings season where it ends up being the old cliche of sell the news?
Yeah, that was definitely the case this time. I mean, if you think about it, year over year earnings growth was, it was 100%. Now in the last week or so, it's come down to something like 95%. So still incredibly high on a year over year basis. But keep in mind, this is all what we've been talking about for a long time. This is baseline effect, right? Last year in Q2, the economy was almost entirely shut down. So we're comparing to a very, very low number. And it's one of the reasons why we've talked about the fact that earnings growth in all likelihood peaked in Q2. I can't even imagine that Q3 could also show something close to 100% year over year growth. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean there's not growth, and it doesn't mean that there won't be strong earnings. It just simply means that on a percentage basis, it's not going to be as high as it was in Q2. I often remind people that to get steady growth rates, you actually have to have exponential output growth. And the reason for that is just the way math works. Every incremental dollar higher is a smaller and smaller percentage. So to keep a steady percentage growth rate, you have to have exponential growth, and you can only maintain that for a certain period of time. So it has been very good, but the expectations bar was extremely high. Now, granted, we still outperformed that. I think at the beginning of the earnings season, the consensus expectation was that we would have about a 62% earnings growth. And it ended up being, like I said, about 95%. So, but despite that, and, you know, like, for example, this week, I think we had 18 companies report. Every single one of them exceeded the expectations. And yet, as you said, some of them actually sold off a little bit. And that speaks to the fact that, yes, a lot of those expectations were built into the market. And you can tell that because until just 3 days ago, the S&P 500 was at an all-time high. So what people tend to focus on a lot more, especially in times of uncertainty right now, like right now where you have the virus that you were worried about, we've got some recent flare up, obviously, in geopolitical events. We've got some concerns about the infrastructure bill and the debt ceiling and all these other things, is people start looking to guidance. What are these companies saying on their conference calls? What are they putting out in their statement? Are they expecting the next couple of quarters to be better or not? Many of them have guided lower, and the ones that have guided lower or even flat are the ones that have been punished the worst in the markets.
And so let's take it back to sort of what people are saying versus what they're doing. You watch trading, but you also watch options. And right. options can be a good forward-looking indicator of what people are expecting. So what are we seeing on that front?
Yeah, what's fascinating, so we have the Jackson Hole Summit coming up next week. Oftentimes ahead of those types of events, especially this time, where there are a lot of people, myself included, who are expecting the Fed to maybe tip its hand on when it actually will begin this tapering process that we've been talking about for months. Oftentimes you will see in the options markets people positioning ahead of that, either maybe becoming a little bit more bullish because they like what, or they think they know what's going to happen and it's going to be positive, or perhaps putting on hedges because maybe they think the Fed will be more aggressive and the market might pull back. What's interesting is we're not really seeing that all that much. The options markets have been pretty quiet. And quiet is a relative term. We think back to what we saw in November, December, January, February, March. We were at all-time record high volumes. A lot of it was concentrated in equities and much of that in the meme stocks that we've all talked about for forever. That has cooled down quite a bit, and we're not quite at those levels just yet. So frankly, surprisingly, as you said, yes, the options markets will oftentimes give us a little bit of forward guidance on what might be happening. Right now, it's kind of a snooze fest. I hate to say it. It's been a little quiet. We've seen a little bit of a pickup in volatility here lately, but the volumes have leveled off at a level higher than they were certainly, or I should say at a level lower than they were at the peak earlier this year, but certainly higher than they have been historically. So from a relative basis, in the short term, it feels kind of quiet right now, frankly.
Interesting. And that implies that if the Fed does do something surprising next week, could catch the markets off guard. We shall see. Yes. Randy Frederick, got to leave it there. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Managing Director of Trading and Derivatives at the Schwab Center for Financial Research.